You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 18. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer, and our Father in God, we again just pause in the light of all things going on. So deal with us, give us an understanding heart, and our God, that we would be in the place to see as you see and to be benefited by your wonderful presence. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Keep in mind, in the light of world history, God's creation, and in Leviticus chapter 18, we have a bit of information just to remind us of, if I can. And in Leviticus 18, you will pick up the thought you'll pick it up in verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind, it is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself, wherewith neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity upon it, thereof upon it, and the land itself shall vomit out her inhabitants. And therefore, verse 8, 26, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. You shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations, verse 27, have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. The land, verse 28, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. So every nation, think of going back in the light of Genesis 11 and one language and everything. And they developed a political tower, city, and a tower religious system. God scattered them, and God is not for that kind of unity. And God scattered them. Genesis 10, and all the nations were formed from that place. All the nations are practicing politic and religion, so that they aren't doing it God's way, they're doing it their way. So you go all over the world, from east, north, south, wherever you want to go. So here's all the land, and the people are in the land. People are in the land as long as they are occupying, I got a little thing to keep in mind, the land belongs to God. He's the owner, and he's the landlord. So everyone that's a human lives on God's land. That's where they live. So we occupy something that isn't ours anyway. And we live in the land. Now, you can live in the land as long as you can live in the land reasonable and you can have your politic and your religion. But if you let it go too far, then the land will reject you. And the land will, as it were, vomit you up. And that's how human history moves. People on the land, defiling it, messing up in their lives, their thinking, their mental, which involves thinking and doing, their moral, which involves right and wrong, and people's mental, moral thinking goes all over the place to very extreme degrees. And in doing so, it pre-creates a occupant of the land that the land will not honor. And the occupant, the nation that is occupying that land, is moved. That's the way it is. That's history. So you want to know. And you go, oh, why did we get this country? And all of them, wherever you want to go. It's just what happens. So, keeping that in mind, God is moving in history. And so, if you can, over, and God has a plan. He has a wonderful plan for the earth. And he made the earth to enjoy his wonderful person and his presence. Because of sin, of course, the earth was cursed, as it were. And thus the earth suffers weeds, sickness, disease from our end of it, and weeds and everything else that's killing and eating. The lion isn't laying down with the lamb, etc. It's not a place. But that isn't what God wants. So God's looking for the outworking of his wonderful will. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65. Well, if you're going there, it's in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, God introduces, by way of Isaiah, the problem. What is the problem? Israel, remember what it said in what we just read in Leviticus. If Israel, it's to Leviticus. Leviticus is to Israel. And Israel, if you get involved, you're going to be kicked off the land the same as everybody else is. So how does God introduce Isaiah? And in the 66 chapters of Isaiah and all of that, how does God introduce it? Well, he takes what's going to happen and puts it right up front. So you know, as you begin the journey through the pages of history, prophecy, he's going to tell you. And what was the problem? Israel, I'll pick it up if I can, verse 3. Verse 2, I don't want to get too locked into this. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And that's a sinful nation, sliding down to verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, the body, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, there's no healing, there's no recovery. Israel is going to go from bad to worse. That's what's going to happen. So keeping that in mind, so that's how you begin Isaiah. The 10 tribes in the north are going to go out of captivity. Isaiah looks to Judah and Jerusalem. What's going to happen to them by the Babylonians? And in chapter 1 of Isaiah, sliding over to verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. So not just a remnant now. It's a small remnant. It isn't just a small remnant, little. It's a very small remnant. So God says, what are you going to look for in Israel that has to be a mighty nation? It's just going to be a little pipsqueak. That's all. Just very little. That's what's going to happen. Now, Isaiah chapter 65. God, what are you doing? You have a wonderful plan, and he does. In Isaiah chapter 65, now what's his plan? I mean, after all, he's telling you how it's going to go, and then he's going to tell you, the land keeps spitting up everybody on it. They go way off. They can't stay there. Isaiah 65, just quickly in the light of the context, verse 17. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that I create and behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, her people a joy. I'm going to do a wonderful thing. That was my plan. I haven't changed the plan. All the things have to happen to make that plan come. Chapter 66, you're going to do it again. And picking up, if I can, in verse 22, directly in the light of the context. For as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. In other words, I'm going to have a wonderful future. Revelation 21, 22, I create a new heavens and a new earth. That's my plan. It won't happen again. It happened now, and it's going to have to work itself out. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, and thus we have Israel. Israel fails. Why does Israel fail? Israel fails because of an internal problem of their own heart. They wanted to be like other nations, and they wanted to have their... We did it the other day. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Judges chapter 21. That's what people want to do. Everyone wants to do what they want to do, the way they want to do it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, they want to do what they want to do, the way they want to do it. And so they proceed as they go forward to do. And God allows the doing, the outworking of things as they doing, and they do so much and in the wrong way, and Israel fails. Israel failed from, I started to say, I wanted to finish. Israel failed, not because of outside. Israel failed because of the inside. They internally failed. No one could beat them or change God's will for their life except they themselves in their believing or their unbelieving. No one. They never lost. If we did sit back to sickness again, we did the other day, they wouldn't have had sickness. They wouldn't have had sickness. They never had a pharmacy like we do. Pharmacy, they didn't have that. But they had God. Now, so they never. So in the process, they didn't believe. That's why the temple, as we shared the other day, in darkness, the temple got eaten up, everything else went. And so you have Israel. Israel being vomited off the land. And that's what Babylon, that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He leveled the temple, he leveled the city, and took them. And the times of the Gentiles began. Now God, the Israel failed within. Times of the Gentiles go on, and as you know, the 10 toes, Daniel chapter 2, and all of that, Daniel chapter 7, and the 10 toes come along, and here we are all the way down. And what you know is history outworked itself. We don't have to guess at it. God told us how it was going to go before anything. So you don't have to guess. God tells you what's going to happen, and he tells you very carefully. He makes it happen. So we're going to turn the pages, history, and Babylon, and then we turn the page again, and there's Medo-Persia, and we turn the page again, there's Greece, we turn the page again, there's Rome, we turn the page, legs of iron, we turn the page again, and we have the Roman Empire as the legs of iron that are now the feet of iron and clay mixed, and we have what we have now in Europe and America and that kind of thing. And we have all of that. And we have that. That's where we are. And we're only... turn the page again, and it's going to be what? The 10 toes, the 10 kings. So history just keeps going. History can't stop. It can't stop. You can't make the pages stay still. What you read on page 10, you must go to page 11, page 12. You have to turn them. But you say, I like page 10. You may like page 10. It may have a wonderful thought for you, but you've got to turn to page 11. You must turn. You can't leave it. It isn't in your prerogative. It isn't in anyone's prerogative to do that. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 16. And add, if I can. Matthew chapter 16. And if I may pick up, please, in the context, you know all a little of these things. I'm going to pick up in 16, verse 3, about the Israelites in the day of our Lord Jesus. And in the morning, he said, it shall be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You read the weather, you read what you want, but you don't read how the pages. Did you understand human nature? And if you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to be in the land. You're going to be judged, and each thing is going to come along, and Israel is going to fail from the inside again and again and again. That's why they're where they're at today. They could turn to God, but they aren't. Now, so having said that, chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, as he was left, and he left them and departed. So they are they reading history? Are they turning the pages properly with understanding? No, they aren't even opening the book. So they don't even know they don't even care about the book. They don't even care. They think it's all theirs, politically, powerfully, possessions, every which way. It's all ours to manage and manipulate. And it isn't. It isn't. It's God's. And as long as you honor God within reason, even you don't have to be saved, just within reason, like Nineveh or something, then you can hang around a while. We've been around 244 years. Very short time for a nation, to say the least. But that's it. Now, hang on. And so in the light of that, God's going to say that they don't believe in the Lord's day. Crucified, they don't believe. They crucified him because they didn't believe. Now, add another piece, so you keep it in mind, 2 Timothy chapter 3. So the history, the world, the crucifixion, it didn't get any better. They just got worse because they didn't believe. They just wouldn't believe. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. They just didn't want to believe. And therefore, 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And you'll notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, going straight over to the light of the context again, 2 Timothy and chapter 3, picking up please in 13. But among all the things going on in these last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, if you think about that, they aren't good, they're bad. Bad men, bad people, bad things. They aren't going to get any better. In fact, they're going to keep getting worse. That's what he said. So we're looking. It isn't going to get, and it doesn't get better. Going way back from the pilgrims up to today, it certainly isn't better. The pilgrims had their problems. Puritans had their problems. America had their problems. But never, never like they are now. A whole different world. And without getting into that subject, which I'm going to do, a man, a woman, remember that, in the Congress? You probably heard that, the opening prayer of the Congress. A man, a man, a man, a woman? I wonder where he got that. You can't do that. You can't play like that with God's. There's a limit. That's what I think. I think we're pushing it from my little window and yours. It seems like we're pushing like we never had, pushing God. And you don't push God. You just don't push God. You just don't do it. Now hang on. Hang on, because there's no time, and I'm trying to get you a little bit to say. Now, having said that, over to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, God's telling you about the tribulation, and you pick up, if I can, in verse 12. I'll read verse 11 a little. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Remember what you just read. Deception, worse and worse, more and more, not better and better. Verse 12. And because iniquity, that's lawlessness, shall abound, and love, the love of many, shall wax cold. So as it gets into the tribulation coming up, where the harbinger looking at it, the shadow looking out here, hit with the shadow, is the tribulation. We're headed, but we are going in, but we see the shadow. We're walking a little bit on the shadow, if you can just imagine it, of what's coming. Now, so here we are looking, and God, what are you going to do? Lawlessness is going to happen. And so what do we know? Well, we are a republic, a constitution. And based on the Judeo-Christian background, as you all know, and we're a republic and not a democracy, and we're very rare in history. We're a nation that is the only one like it in all of history, apart from Israel. And Israel was never America, and America was never Israel. Two different things. And here's America, short-lived on planet Earth. And America's a republic. It has laws, law and order. Why do we have laws? So that it's fair. Why is it fair? Because if this guy over here is poor, and this guy over here is rich, and they both do the same thing, the rich guy can't pay off anybody. Because the law says, and then everyone, rich, poor, bond free, you have to go by the law. And it's fair. It makes it fair. Makes everything fair. So you can't. That's why we have two electors in each state to make it fair. So a big state like New York and a big state like California don't overwhelm you. So the little guy out in Iowa can be equal to the big guy in New York City. So they can be even. And it's our country. It's for everybody. Law, order. That's what we have. That's what our country is. And our country is formed for that. But in our Lord's day, they were not law-abiding. And the Lord tells us in the tribulation, it's certainly not going to be law-abiding. They aren't going to be law-abiding. They play by their own rules. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. So now, over to 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2, picking up if I can, you'll catch it, you'll know it. Chapter 2, going directly if I can, to verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, and the Spirit of God is going to be restraining lawlessness, evil, by God's grace. That's an age, you understand, this is a time of grace. Grace is going to be replaced with wrath. Grace is holding back. The Spirit of God's holding back. How bad can it get? It can get bad, but not that bad yet. And the Spirit of God holds it back he's holding it back. Verse 7. For the mystery, it's a mystery. In the light of history, in the light of everything, It's a mystery, the mystery of iniquity, that's lawlessness, doth already work. It's already working in the day of the Apostle John, etc., and Paul. The mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Spirit of God's going to keep it in check. Keep it in check until he takes the church up and the grace of God ends and the wrath of God begins. And it's a mystery. It's lawlessness. Lawlessness. How bad can lawlessness get? Well, in other words, forget law and order. How bad can people get? Well, they can get evil, like in Genesis 6. They did evil continually. And you can keep going through history. They never fix it. They never fix it. It just gets worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we have all kinds of maneuvers and manipulations to survive. So in the process, you know, without me, there's too much of our country doesn't know. Probably the world, some of the world knows better than our country does sometime. And you remember that 4 years ago or so, a little more in the process, a little more than that, and there was a terrible, terrible activity way up in the highest level of cover-up because there was lawlessness done, evil, bad stuff done internationally, etc. And all over it was there. But so in order to cover it up, there was an election. And then if the election is right, we can keep the cover up covered up. But if the election isn't right, then we're forced to keep covering it up. And it covers up what? Our highest courts. FBI, everybody, you know all this stuff. It covers it up, for real. We've been doing it for 4 years or so. Wow, so no, if you pay attention. So, now we are looking, and here we are, and skipping fast, you know, all these things. And then you will remember, before the election, they did what they did, and the maneuvering of the election and all these things, which are very prominent, very prominent to us, they're relevant. And in the process, here comes the election type of thing, and in the process, here's the person that didn't get elected, whatever it was, doesn't matter, in the process, and therefore we have to cover it up. And then we covered it up, and we did everything we could, every kind of way. And just when the election, setting it up, you remember a person was chosen, saying, I'm going to avoid any politics. A person was chosen to be whatever up there. And then the person was chosen. You never would have chosen, but you didn't have any choice, really. And when you chose him, what did you tell him? You remember it said. He even said it. And it was said. You don't need to worry about doing anything. You're going to make it. You're going to win. Remember? He said that. They told him that. The system had already rigged itself to do that. You remember that? He told them it. And even the guy that's there, without saying anything, he said it. He said, this is the greatest fraud ever. I thought that was neat. That was a neat thing. But who's going to hear those things? So now, having said that and got that in mind, so what have we got? Well, here we are. So it was a rigged thing. And I don't need to get all that. I hope you know those stuff. Hundreds and hundreds of things, hundreds of them, literally. Offenses, problems, terrible things. Just using the one I just caught in Georgia, listening to the convalescent homes. And one of the convalescent homes, the head of the home said, and we have 100, make believe you got 100 people in the rest home. We had 2,000 votes come from this place. But people used our address to vote. Nobody's. They just kept coming in, signing the name, and out we sent them using our address. And then a second rest home. They had the next one on, a lady and a man this time. And the man said, he was smiling. He said, yeah, we had 2,000 whatever votes that come in. We don't even have that many people. Obviously, we don't have many people. Now, do you think that's bad? And then you know all the other stuff. Yeah, here we are. Here's a district in Detroit. It doesn't matter where it is. All over the place. Different things. And we got a little district. And there's how many people live in our district? 10,000 people are registered. So when you vote, you'd expect, if everyone voted 100%, wouldn't you expect 10,000, right? Wouldn't you? That doesn't make you brilliant, but just makes you, with it, you're brilliant. 10,000. Well, how come there's 40,000? 40,000. How can 40,000? I say, why don't someone correct this? This is absurd. Do that over and over again. No one corrects. They say it. No one will listen. Judges, states, the highest court, they don't listen. They don't want to listen. No, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I understand. We're caught in a terrible, terrible cover-up that has so overwhelmed everything. We are so buried. We're just glad to get a little bit of anything going. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and so here's, and then the virus comes along. That was in the same blurting of news. I said, well, this is wonderful. And that said about California. And California, L.A., which is Los Angeles, and Los Angeles has given a court order or a government, a mayor or whoever's in power, an order to the ambulances not to bring anyone to the hospital that they think can't make it. If they think they can't make it, don't. That's a command to them, to the ambulance drivers. Don't bring them to the hospital. What do you think of that? That isn't even a taste of what lies ahead. Do you understand? Now, what's going to stop it? You've already got top Senate, Congress. Do you understand? They're one. And who's going to stop them apart from God? Do you understand that? If it goes like it does and nothing happens, you will never have another election like this. There will be no more, as you know it. The system will run everything, like in Venezuela, et cetera, et cetera. Iran, it'll run the whole thing. The days are over of what you used to know, the government, unless that changes. And the only way it can change, I don't know. Because there is no more election. You can't elect anybody to go in and counter them. Because that'll never happen. They will never let that happen. We're living in a different time. I'm trying to tell you, this is. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to think about it. We just have, and Jeanette told me the crowd was there to try to support the president and all of that. And then when Jeanette told me that this afternoon somewhere, I said, Jeanette, I'm going to tell you why they were going past where they should. What was happening? I said, I'll bet you, I understand being bad guys. That's because of our old nature. And you know what I would do? If I had been this long for all these years setting it up, I'm so efficient and so organized, I know what they're going to do, have a rally, and I'm going to go and use that rally. And I'm going to go and send my team in. Remember that was whatever? Someone told me, maybe not, I don't know, on Facebook and that, they already showed the group that we're going to, you saw the group already going to go, and they went in and led them. Four or five of them led from this group, led the riot into firing up everything and making a peace-loving man like myself a passive man, active. And I followed them. Whatever, I'm caught up in it. Wow. I used it. I used the thing. I killed the rally. That's what I wanted to do. Kill the rally so there's no influence. Make the influence, instead of being a positive outside, make it a negative one. And that's what they've done. I'll bet you, I haven't heard it now. I'll bet you it's negative. Not being reported. And I hate to spend time in this. There's all kinds of stuff in this, you know. And a handful of us think about it. But the general public, not thinking about it. And you just can't. Hundreds and hundreds of proven things with great attestation of the documents. But it isn't going to go anywhere. And it isn't going to be fixed. I hope I'm dead wrong. But I don't know how to be dead right in the light of it. So therefore, God, and we're in, by the way, and I'll give you all the other stuff I got coming up. My little mind was trying to figure out how to do this for you because I wanted to help you understand. And I'm all over the place, so. But I'll give you a little point. In the light of the, in what we're doing, the great system, remember, in you go back to Genesis chapter 11, God hates globalism. Satan loves globalism. Satan loves darkness. And God said, and God is opposed. The devil is never. The devil wants oneness in whatever form, in whatever way he can get it. And that's what's happening. Socialism, communism, materialism, humanism. None of that is going to get fixed. It's godless systems that have no hope. Remember now, so you'll be sympathetic in a good way to people. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you don't have that in your heart, would you tell me how your future looks? What is your future like? Besides aging and everything, there is no future. So we're going to fight to get the bestest we can to make us sink whatever we got going to make it work, communism, socialism, at whatever cost it takes. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it with gusto. And we don't do it. There are no rules. There are no niceties in this. And that's the trouble with the nice guys. The people that are trying. We aren't violent. We just want to do it right. Balanced and caring and fair. They don't play fair. And they don't care about being fair. They don't care. That's why communism in the past, and even now over there, the guy over there in China, in the 80s, no. He's killed millions of people. And they've killed millions of people. They don't blink an eyeball at it. You'll never hear it. I think of the 50s coming all the way back forward here and all the stuff that was happening, and you'd never hear it in this country. You'd never hear thousands of people eliminated. No problem. They're just evolved creatures, right? And remove them. Remove them. If it makes your end work, you remove them. But they never do anything. And they aren't doing anything. And the nice guys just get beaten up by the system. And you just can't be nice. You can't be nice. They're going to keep punching you in the nose. So either you're going to lose your nose, or I suggest run, or I suggest get a shield, or punch him in the nose so his nose is hurting and see how he likes it, you know. What am I going to tell you? We aren't going to fix it. That's why it's passive. No good. You and I have to be active. Actively believing. Actively, wonderfully believing. And we need to do so. And history is being outworked in a wonderful way. The pages are being turned. You cannot stop the pages. Just think if I had a book and turn the pages. And what you can do, turn the pages of the Bible. You read this and then next, it's going to happen. You say, it doesn't. Yes, it is. It's a must. Do you understand? It's an absolute must. What has to happen? What God has said. It isn't a question of, well, God, would you allow this and do that? And no, God didn't give you that choice. He never told anybody that. He's the boss. He has a wonderful plan. His ways and his thoughts are what? Isaiah 55? Higher than yours and mine. So why do I want my stupid plan? Or my little thing? I think, God, if you just do this, you know, well, that's me. But God got this, the big picture with every piece in it, in order. And that's what should be. And God has to have it happen. Over, if you would then, with that little bit in mind, over to Revelation. And in chapter 1. We didn't get very far, and I wish I gave you more, whatever, but I hope you got a little bit. That's all I can say. Your future, you'll have to keep it in memory because you won't have it anymore. It'll be another world. It won't take long. It won't take long. Revelation chapter 1. Remember our Lord said, you have to turn there, Matthew 16, 21. I must, M-U-S-T, it's a compulsory, it is demanding of me. Word, little verb, must. It's compulsory that I go to the cross. He's on his way there. He said, it's an absolute must that I go to that cross. But Peter said, you don't have to go to the cross. He said, yes, I do. It is the will of God. It is a must to happen. Israel is going to go through the tribulation. It's a must going to happen. It's a must. God is going to come at the end of it. That's a must. Here's Revelation chapter 1. Here we are looking, God, at your word. And in the process, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show, to make it clear, public, plain, to show unto the servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, the servant John, unto his servant John. So John's going to get an angelic message that what's going to happen shortly is a must. That's gone. Shortly. Hang on to that. Now, over if you would, please. Over to shortly. And verse 4. And John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, Greece, be unto you peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from which the seven spirits which are before his throne. So God is giving directly and has authority. Authority is, John understands the authority, God's, to be able to do what he's going to do in a most wonderful way. Over to chapter 4. And chapter 4, before we get to 4, remember we're going to have over here, back over to chapter 1 for a moment. And chapter 1, verse 19. These things which thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. In other words, I'm going to show you the future. Now, hang on, it's a must. It's a must to see the future. That's why God gave you his word. If you think people in the Revelation, in the tribulation, are going to be busy reading about the book of Colossians, I don't know that. I don't know they even get too much into the Bible. Colossians won't mean a thing then. Not then. Tribulation. They can't even, the church, the body, it's all gone. It's like us, it's like the liberals, people that don't believe, reading the Old Testament. And they read the Old Testament and say, like the Thompson Chain reference in that, and you read all the references in that, and it's all about Israel, all about the church. Why? Because all these things happened to Israel a long time ago. They never happened to us. It isn't us. So we have the church everywhere. The church is gone in the tribulation. So the tribulation isn't going to be thinking about the body assembled together, etc. They aren't going to be doing that. Not that I know of. It wouldn't make sense. So what are we doing? Well, we're going to go and God's going to show us. So here's the church age. We're at the end. Here's the shadow of the tribulation, I think, not too far away. Revelation, and in chapter 3, you recall, that remember the church in Laodicea, which is where we are, the end of the church age. And in the end of the church age, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, 17 and verse 3, chapter 3, verse 17, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. And you guys aren't in good shape at all. You aren't in good shape. And I counsel thee, etc., to buy, etc., to get. So when you're sliding down, and then behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'm going to come in and save him. Save the person. Behold, as many as receive him, to them give you the right, the privilege to become children of God. And so here, God, what do you say? Well, God said the end of the age. And we're at the end of the age. We're Laodicea. Where that is. It ain't going to get worse. It isn't going to get change. It's where we are. Wow. And so now, and therefore, verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now you say, okay. Now God, we're at the end of the age. The tribulation's coming up. So when I'm going, the Old Testament, Revelation, chapter 1, 2, 3, now chapter 4. The end of the church age, we're finished. So when I read chapter 4, God, what are you going to say when you finish the church? Chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Come up. Now, God, now follow. Here we are, following, turning. And the church age ends, and everyone that's believing is there. And now, God, what's going to happen? Well, then God said, the next thing I want you to know, I want you to come up. I want you to come up and see what's going on, how it's going to go. I want you to come up to see it. Okay. Now, God, as we come to the end of the church age, what are you telling us elsewhere? At any moment, I'm coming. What are you telling me, God? When you come to the end of the Laodicea, when I'm done with you guys, you're going up. I want you to come up. I want you to come up and see how it's all going to go. So, you got that? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what's the next thing to happen? We're going to go up. And here it is, I'm reading it. It's true, telling about John being taken up to see everything. But that's what's going to happen. What's going to happen? We're going to be taken up. Now, you don't know that for sure. Hold it, Revelation, and Revelation chapter 22. And you know we've been there recently, as you have. And in Revelation chapter 22, of verse 7. Now, this is our Lord. Behold, I, said the Lord God, I am coming, present tense, quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So, God, I thank you. You're coming quickly. That's right. I told you that. Well, said you didn't mean that. Yes, I did. I told you. The church is going to end. I said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. They don't want to listen. I'm going to take them up. I'm finished with the church. There is no chapter 4 in Revelation of the church. The church is finished in Laodicea. God's done with grace. And therefore, chapter 22. So there's no question. God, you know how he closes. Verse 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. So be it. I'm coming quickly. And what are we going to say? Even so, come. Now I say, God, I told you, end of the church age. And you know, what's going to happen? I'm going to take you up. And so that's why I gave you the book of Revelation, so you know it. And you say, well, but all those things are going to happen in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, and all of those things are going to be. But be of good cheer. I'm going to take you up so that you're going to be able to understand what's going to happen from heaven's viewpoint. That's what you're going to do. You're going to have a position. That doesn't mean you're going to be watching it at all, but you're going to have a position before the great physician that gives you his health and his wealth. And that's what you're going to do. Now, God, we aren't going to fix anything, and the pages have to be turned. And here we are. We are here. You know what a map is? Anyone remember what a map is? A big map, you open up like this, and you look at the map. And then you look at the map, and you used to know, where are we? And so what? Here's this big map of something, and you want to know where you are. Well, you wouldn't know where to go. Here's a map. Am I in California or New York? And you have to tell me. So I put my finger down where I am. That's where I am, right there. Now I know where I am in the light of California and where I am in the light of New York. So now I know where I want to go, to Boston. Okay? So now I got to know where I am to know where I'm going. Otherwise, I can't know. Apart from the GPS, I know you say you have a GPS and a super intelligent machine with you, and that tells you how to breathe and tells you how to go and take a left. And stupid, I told you to take a left back there, and then it tells you something else to go. And you have to think about anything. Just sort of turn the wheel. And when it says turn right, you know, and you just go down the road, and that's how you get there. You see? See? I said, do you know how to get to the house? Oh, I don't need to know. Yeah, people die. I don't need to know. My machine knows. See? But so I bet you a lot of people can't even, they don't use maps, do they? I don't know. People use maps. Well, anyway, I got to quit. I didn't get very far. I just want you to understand the pages are turning, and you need to know that. That isn't a guess. That's a reality. That's a raw, awesome reality. They're turning. And we never had that in all my little years. And I mentioned it the other day, Second World War, Pearl Harbor, December 7th, and all that kind of thing. And I've never had another, I can never think of another thing that is like this. Not like this. The year's a new year, but it'll never be like anyone else. It'll be different than all the other years. And so as you sort of slack and lax, and you don't have to be, you can still have pizza, do everything. But understand, it'll be different. And when it talks to ambulances and stuff like that, that's important to me. basic needs, health care, on whose basis, on what kind of terms, taxes on what kind of terms, order, law and order, for who, for how much, fear, which we have from the virus, fear, control, conformity. You understand? That's where we're at. And the devil's using it, and I'd love to be able to take it and do it Sunday, Lord willing. Who knows? On China and all of that. I think it's awesome what's happening. I do. We'll pray. And I appreciate your patience, and God help us. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. God, we're just stumbling along, but we aren't carrying it. It's yours. It's your whole, the whole ball of wax is yours. God, we're just here. We just want to be in the place, God, that we're among those, counted among those that are honoring you and looking to you with thanksgiving. God, we're to be little lights in the darkness. That's all. We're just us, trusting you. And you're leaving us here in the world, but not of it. You're leaving us to bear witness to your wonderful person. The world hates you, God. It hates light. It loves darkness. But God, we're going to be children of light. We're going to walk in the light. And God, we're wonderfully, wonderfully kept. If you're for us, and since you're for us, who would dare interfere with your will for our lives? God, thank you, thank you, thank you for the sick, for the weak, and all the people, God, hither and yon. You got to help us. We want to be a remnant, God. Small or very small is immaterial. We just want to make sure we're among the remnant that's looking to you with all our heart. And our God, we're going to thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that we can sail through this with thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.